You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, everyone. I'm Anthony Kasavin. Thank you for tuning in. This is our weekly Tribe Talk, and we are pleased to be joined by Jordan Bastian. JB, a lot of comings and goings right now. Michael Brantley rejoining the club in Minnesota this week. Carlos Carrasco with a hamstring injury. You had a nice, relaxing Sunday at the ballpark, Comerica Park, on Sunday, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, day in the life. You go to the park and you think, you know, hey, I don't really know if I'm going to have much to write about today. So we went over and we grabbed Omar Vizquel so he could, you know, just kind of gush about what he's seen from Francisco Lindor and, you know, kind of file that story just so we'd have something on the site. And next thing you know, it's just bang, 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 a bunch of things piling on top of each other. Was quite a day and, you know, obviously kind of a mix of news, you know, the pending activation of Michael Brantley coming soon and Carlos Carrasco going down with the injury, you know, a lot of implications up and down the roster with both of these moves. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out over the next couple weeks, maybe a couple months.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to make it abundantly clear to the listening audience, we are recording this at 1:51 p.m. Eastern time on Monday. So as of this moment, we don't know if Michael Brantley is activated in the lineup. We don't know how long Carlos Carrasco is out. But on both fronts, we can take a decent guess in that you know, Brantley is certainly much sooner than later, and Carrasco is much later than sooner because that hamstring injury did not look particularly good. But let's start with Brantley, JB. Obviously, this has enormous implications on the lineup. Jose Ramirez in particular will be affected by this. He's, of course, played very well for the Indians here early on, but his role will change as a result of Dr. Smooth's return. What do you make of all this?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think a really interesting development over the last few days has been the emergence of Carlos Santana, leadoff hitter, and that experiment has gone pretty well so far. You know, I think it reminded me of a few years ago before Terry Francona when Shin-Soo Chu was really struggling and Manny Acta put him in the leadoff spot and really kind of threw us all when he did that. And then Chu got real hot and all of a sudden everyone looked at him as a leadoff hitter. Santana doesn't really fit that prototypical mold, but I think he's done really well, and obviously the on-base ability and seeing pitches makes a lot of sense. So it'll be interesting now because last year the Kipnis 1, Lindor 2, Brantley 3 was a very effective combination. So it'll be interesting to see if Francona was just doing a short-lived experiment knowing Brantley was coming back, and then Carlos Santana will go back to the middle of the lineup behind Mike Napoli. You know, one thing Francona has made clear throughout the Santana experiment is that he loves the idea, but he still worries about the run production by taking really one of the Indians' most effective power bats out of the middle. So that'll be interesting to see how he handles the structure of the lineup when Brantley comes back. And then, yeah, Jose Ramirez has proved to be a very versatile and valuable weapon for the Indians in the early going, especially as some other guys have been slow out of the gate. You know, they've run him out to left field, which is obviously Brantley's position. He got some reps in center field during spring training, but Francona doesn't really view that as a regular option. That would just sort of be, hey, it's good to know Rose can go out there in a pinch if the Indians need it. And then obviously he's played third base, but that's where they have Juan Uribe. So, you know, it's an interesting situation because they want to keep Jose Ramirez involved as much as possible. So you'll see him bounce around, you know, Lindor, Kipnis, if they need a day off, he can go up the middle and play there as well. So, you know, he's kind of been a spark plug early. That helmet keeps flying off, and I mean, good things are happening, and, you know, they want to keep seeing that happening. So, but obviously having Brantley back is going to be huge and a huge lift. And I think what's very important right now is the fact that the Indians could be getting Brantley back while they have a winning record in April. So I think that's they've done an excellent job of sort of keeping their heads above water and then some in his absence.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the big picture hope was just mere survival without Brantley. And so that is a huge boost, and that's offset in some measure by the Carlos Carrasco news, which, again, we don't know the exact extent of it. But, man, what a bummer to see him come off the field like that. And obviously a key cog in the rotation. And it's a good thing it's not arm or shoulder related, of course, but it's still a pretty serious issue.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Carlos Carrasco is a big guy, and when he went down as quick as he did, and when he tries to stand up and then immediately drops down to his knees, I mean, you knew this wasn't a tweak. You know, this wasn't just a cramp that flared up. So that's pretty bad, and you know, I think it's disappointing just in the the greatness of the game aspect. You know, this guy's a really big breakout candidate. A lot of people pegged him to be a Cy Young contender. Was really one of the better starters for the Indians over the last 2 years. So losing him for any amount of time, whether it's 2 weeks on the DL or whether it's 2 months on the DL, is a pretty devastating blow. I think what helps in the immediacy is that there's a few off days coming up, so Cleveland could exist with a four-man rotation until May 7th. So they have a little bit of a cushion there just in terms of aligning their staff. And also they entered the season with an extra arm in the bullpen, and that extra arm was Trevor Bauer. So there's this natural ability to have a guy transition into the rotation if they need it. So in terms of depth and in terms of timing, it's not the – you don't want to say it's not the worst because it's a horrible development for the Indians, but there are some factors that could help ease sort of the burden of losing him in the immediate picture.
Yep. That's hope. That is the hope. And I was one of those people who pegged Carrasco as my Cy Young pick, so I'll take the heat for this. This is a clear case of the Castro curse. not to be confused with the ML Bastion jinx. But
right.
You mentioned in happier times Omar Vizquel talking about Francisco Lindor.
Yeah.
Of course, that's an opinion that matters coming from an 11-time Gold Glove winner. What do you have to say about old Frankie?
Yeah, well, I mean, Omar was very political about it. He made sure he mentioned Iglesias and Correa and Alcides Escobar and a few other shortstops. But basically, it's that idea that a lot of us have written about and talked about, this emergence of this new, younger crop of shortstops coming up and just how much fun it is to see them breaking into the big leagues, having success, and how much fun it's going to be seeing them over the next decade, you know, how this all plays out. And, you know, we asked if Lindor reminds himself at all of himself. And, you know, he kind of shied away from that. But he said, you know, he really loves the creativity that he's seen from Francisco at shortstop. And, you know, when in talking to Lindor, Lindor believes that creativity is probably the most important attribute for a shortstop. Because there are plays like when Miguel Cabrera hits a 107-mile-an-hour one hopper that knocks you over into the outfield grass, you got to be a little creative in figuring out how you're going to get that out at first base. And obviously Omar got to watch Lindor pull that play off over the weekend in Detroit. So, you know, he already got some highlight reel plays right in front of him. And obviously when you're an 11-time Gold Glove Award winner, and a huge fan favorite of the Indians, you know, his opinion carries a lot of weight. So it was pretty cool to kind of hear some of his comments about Lindor, and you can read all about it on Indians.com.
You can.
Yeah,
from a creative person himself, and Jordan Bastion. But creative is a very, very good word for both, to describe both of those guys' games. And they both play the game with, they just have so much fun playing. You know, there's kind of an energy that resonates off of them. So there's definitely some comparisons to be drawn there. And, you know, good on Frankie for his charity stuff involved with the RBI program, both at home and on the road. That's really impressive for a guy in his first full season to make that such a point of emphasis right out the gate in his career. And that's another draw another comparison to Carlos Correa, who's been very much at the forefront of that as well. Those guys are really impressive on and off the field. They both seem to have that mindset of, I want to be great on the field and off the field. But, yeah, you really can't ask for more than what Francisco Lindor has given the Indians on both facets so far in his young career.
Yeah, it's great to see that from a young player. A lot of times you'll see it from the veteran players who have sort of accrued a lot of money over the years and can really, you know, start foundations and pour some of their money back into the community. I mean, Frankie's just starting his career here, so it's really cool to see him already sort of establishing, I think they call it the Lindor Smile Squad, where he's going to host, you know, athletes with disabilities at home games, you know, select home games throughout the season. You know, that'll obviously be something that I'm sure will continue. And, you know, and in Cleveland and on the road, he's planning on visiting with underprivileged youth and helping out with the Major League Baseball's RBI program. I mean, for a young player to really dive head first when he already has so much on his plate in terms of responsibility on the field, being the shortstop, being the number three hitter, you know, having the attention of, you know, magazines wanting to do photo shoots, and he's the runner-up for the Rookie of the Year, and, you know, he's already got so much of a spotlight on him that it would be easy for him to say, hey, you know what, I don't need this extra thing right now. I've already got so much going on. But he embraces it. He embraces the spotlight, and he loves to have fun on the field and help out off the field. And I think that's tremendous to see him already at such a young age becoming such a great ambassador for, you know, not only the Indians but for baseball.
All right. The Indians gain some smooth and lose a cookie. So that's a odd trade, but we'll see how they fare in the aftermath of those developments. And we'll check in next week with Jordan Bastian to talk about that. For now, thanks for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.